Hello, everybody. Welcome to Talking Stuff, the Ohio State Recruiting Podcast, brought to you by Byers Auto. If you're looking for an auto, head to ByersAuto.com. If you're looking for Ohio State football recruiting stuff, stay right here because today myself and Zach Carpenter are going to talk about the latest in Ohio State football recruiting, especially the recent addition of five-star all-everything athlete Sonny Styles. So enough of my yammering. Let's get to me and Zach yammering right now. I am back, Jeremy Birmingham here with Zach Carpenter. We're talking stuff, the Ohio State Recruiting Podcast, brought to you by Byers Auto, as I said just about 4 seconds ago. Zach, we haven't had a chance to catch up in this forum since the commitment of Sonny Styles on Saturday afternoon. And, you know, I know people were sort of like, wow, when, how'd this happen? But this seemed like it was just coming for a while. Like Sonny had mentioned over and over to anyone, I'm getting closer. I don't want to drag this on. And I know that people wanted to turn this into an Ohio State Notre Dame battle, but like every week that passed, it seemed like Ohio State was stretching that lead as opposed to it tightening.
Yeah, I think we were both pretty confident for several weeks, if not months, that Ohio State was in the best position. And if he's still, I mean, he's made multiple visits. He made his way over to Ohio State camps, like I think three times in June to like get extensive work with the coaching staff. So I think the writing was on the wall for a while. It was just about what his comfort level was about making a decision and when he wanted to finally do it. And I think him getting in this class this early is just a massive, not just for his obvious talents and potential usage in the future of the Ohio State defense, but building this class from within. I know I took a question this week about how he could he be the next CJ Hicks style peer recruiter, which I think it's very clear there. He's just very different from CJ as far as personality goes.
Yeah.
But I think he has that five-star aura and he has the Rolodex and he's the type of guy that other five stars and our high four stars are going to want to play with and be on the same defense with. So I think getting him in the class is their first commit or their second commitment, third commitment. Wow. I'm losing track of them.
First defensive commitment.
Yep. You couldn't ask for a bigger commitment to start off the class. And we kept talking about it for so long. Are we labeling this the commitment? You know how the Bulls had Michael Jordan had the shot. Ohio State Michigan is the game.
I think that we almost have to label it with something because as you said, you're talking about a kid that has a different gravitas about him, and people do recognize it. I wrote about it on Monday on Letterman Row, was that it's sort of like Quinn Ewers, that Sonny doesn't need to be a go rah-rah vocal, I'm going to go out and get everyone, I'm going to at them on Twitter and that kind of stuff, because people already know who he is. They know where his loyalty is and what he means now. He is part of, you know, the Ohio State recruiting machine now. So what he said when we did the commitment interview last week was, I'm just going to try to build relationships with people. And because that's what worked with him. It wasn't about the flashy stuff. It wasn't about we want Sonny. It wasn't about the constant push from the outside. It was about building solid relationships on the inside. And, you know, I think one thing that people will probably be interested in hearing about in talking with Sonny, and this was about 2 weeks before he made the announcement on Saturday, about 10 days before. He had mentioned to me that one of the things that had changed just when he told me he was going to be making a decision was that he realized that it was places like Ohio State, Notre Dame, et cetera, the schools he's looking at, Clemson, Florida, that if coaches come and go, it doesn't matter because the programs themselves are going to replace coaches with good coaches. Like, so, you know, people are like, oh, what if Al Washington were to leave? What if Marcus Freeman were to leave? And Sonny just basically said he realized that none of that stuff really mattered that much as long as the head coaches were there and the programs were going in the direction that they were going, that none of the other kind of peripheral noise mattered that much. And I thought that was a really interesting point because that when I asked him initially, what's changed? Why are you ready now? He brought that up as one of the primary things that he realized that he was putting too much stock into that.
Yeah, I think I hadn't really put too much thought into that, but yeah, you're right. Because I know talking to CJ Hicks and Gabe Powers in the 2022 class, when the rumors about Al Washington potentially leaving for Tennessee, they were like, yeah, we talked about it, but even if Coach Walsh leaves, I'm still going to be committed to Ohio State. I'm still going to sign with them because it's more about the program as a whole. And you heard, I think a couple of weeks ago in a press conference with Ryan Day, asked him about the Matt Barnes, Kerry Combs dynamic and those sorts of things. And he was very adamant. This is a team thing here. We team recruit. It's not just about one. He did, just to paraphrase, but he said it's not just about one position coach. It's about the whole, the whole team here, the whole program, because they know what Ohio State is and what we're about. So I think that's how it is with most, with most recruits. Maybe, I guess, defensive line might be a little different because Larry Johnson is so different in the way he does things.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. I don't know if you agree with that, but
no, I definitely do. And I actually mentioned this, a couple times before, is that Ryan Day's involvement in every one of these recruitments happens so early that it does offset the potential for anyone else changing jobs or leaving. And this is one of the fundamental differences between Ryan Day and Urban Meyer, was that Meyer really didn't get involved in recruiting until it was closing time. And Ryan Day gets involved at the opening bell. And that is a huge difference because it does help smooth over some of those rocky waters. If a situation like Al Washington, to Tennessee, that when that was percolating last year, if that were to come to fruition, then, Ryan Day already has a relationship with CJ Hicks, with Gabe Powers. And I think that Ryan Day actually learned that right at the start of his career as a head coach, right when the Paris Johnson thing happened, because Ryan Day, was already involved with Paris Johnson, and that helped, keep Paris in the class. Even though he took a couple of visits elsewhere, Ryan's involvement early in that situation, rather than being like, "Oh, that's not my guy, I don't need to recruit him, Stud has him, Urban has him," Ryan Day was already involved. And so that does make a big difference. And, we could talk for many, many episodes about Sonny Styles and what he does, but what he does for the class. But, the big question people are going to have, Zach, is, okay, Sonny's in, who's next? Who's next? Because that's all anyone ever cares about. There's no time to pat yourselves on the back in the world of recruiting. And so who's next? Who's next in the class of 2023? That's the question. I mean, I know you got it in the recruiting mailbag that you wrote on Wednesday morning. I get it all the time from people. And if it was that easy, folks, then we would, this job wouldn't really be important. But it's not there.
It is. Can I just start shouting names with no rationale behind it?
You can. I don't see why you wouldn't do that, to be honest. And I think that obviously we're both in agreement, and I think a lot of people are too, that Austin Saraveld from Lakota East is probably one of the more likely candidates to be the next commitment. I thought he would be visiting Ohio State again for this Michigan State weekend. That's what he said initially. His plan was he's actually going to visit Alabama when they play Arkansas instead. So you're about to see his national profile really blow up because the Crimson Tide are going to offer, and then Georgia's going to offer, and then all of a sudden we'll find out how much Austin really wants to deal with the recruiting process. Because in talking to him, a couple weeks ago when I went down to his school to see him, this isn't a kid that seemed like he was really into the idea of being like widely recruited and being a recruit. Similar to Jimmy Rolder, who we'll talk about in a second, this is a kid who 5 weeks ago nobody had heard of. And now all of a sudden he's talking about Ohio State and Michigan and Notre Dame and, Michigan State and now Alabama. I think Saraveld is still the name we believe is probably the most likely, right?
Yeah, and that's funny you say that, because he does have that personality of, I'm long for this recruiting world type of stuff, but because I think it was Michigan State, maybe one other school had offered him when Ohio State did. And it seemed like, it felt to me at the time like, all right, this is probably just a matter of when, not if. And I still feel that way. But a lot of these kids, I mean, you've been covering it for 9-10 years. I've been covering it for 2 years. A lot of these kids still want that profile to build up, and they want to build relationships. They want that experience of going to visit schools and meet with different coaches. And a lot of it can have to do with, I want to build a relationship for down the line, because maybe I wind up meeting with that coach if he leaves to another school, or maybe even in the NFL some days. Like, that's a lot of times kids are thinking that, and families are thinking that far down the line. But I do feel like Austin will be the next commit, that he'll want to do it sooner than later. And maybe this winds up being a Blake Miller situation, I guess, where I think we all thought, okay, this will be done in no time. And then eventually he keeps putting off the decision, and then he winds up at Clemson. But I do in the 2021 class and the 2022 class, I think it's clear that Ryan Day wants to start off with an Ohio nucleus just to build a class from within.
Yeah.
And because four of his first five commits in his first full class in 21, four of the first five were Ohio. The first four in 2022 class were all Ohio, if we're counting Jair Brown. And I don't know if you are like this too, but sometimes I forget that those two classes started off with such an Ohio flavor because of the national out-of-state approach. But I get the feeling that the 23 class is going to be the same way because we have guys like Austin and then Luke Montgomery, who will be a great first start to the class.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of these situations. We're talking about the kids who are wanting to do the recruiting process. There's two reasons that kids want to do the recruiting process. Number one is because they want to learn. They want to educate themselves. They want to make sure that, you know, hey, for a kid like Austin Saraval, again, specifically, this is someone who probably is going to commit to Ohio State at some point. And I don't think that's a real big surprise to him. I think he knows that. And I think it's about making sure that you have other stuff to stack up to Ohio State. Say, okay, well, I've been to here. Ohio State is still the one I want to go to. And then there's kids who want to do the recruiting process for the accolades and the pictures and that kind of stuff. And Saraval, from what I've seen, is definitely not that type of kid. So I think this is just going to be an educational process, making sure that, you know, okay, Ohio State has this, this, and this, but Alabama has this, this, and this. What's the difference? Is there a difference? What can I not get at Ohio State that I can get at Alabama, vice versa? And then there's the other type of kid who, you know, we've talked about over and over. The kids just love the recruiting process. And I think that this weekend, actually, there's another 2023 name that I think we could be looking at as an early commitment, and that's Peyton Kirkland. I'm not saying he's on commitment watch or anything crazy like that, but like, I feel like this is a kid who may understand what we're talking about, that there is a push to start this 23 class in Ohio. And part of that is Josh Padilla. Part of that is Luke Montgomery. Part of that is Austin Saraval. And if they're talking five or six offensive linemen in the class of 2023, it may behoove Peyton Kirkland to get into that class early if he wants a spot. And I think that Ohio State is his favorite. And I think that he has an opportunity to do sort of what Tegger Shibola did and just sort of say, hey, I'm in, and then fade away and not get caught up in a lot of the stuff. So I guess I'm not going to be surprised if he's the next one also, but I do think it'll be an offensive line.
I feel pretty good about Peyton Kirkland, Ohio State as well. I talked to him last week, and just kind of reading the tea leaves there, it feels like Ohio State's in a great position. And I think I said this, I believe in the forum, that obviously Greg Studrawa, like some of the struggles there as far as personality fit and vibing with out-of-state offensive line recruits. There's, in the past couple of classes, there's been a little more to be had there, I guess. But I think this is one where the personalities between the two vibe mesh pretty well. Peyton said that Studrawa reminds him of his own high school coach. So that's something that I think is a positive actually for Ohio State with Peyton Kirkland. And now it's all about this upcoming visit for the Michigan State game, that Ohio State makes a good impression, which I have no real reason to believe that they won't. His mom's an Ohio State fan. He said, he joked and said, yeah, I have to root for Ohio State no matter who they're playing, whatever game, whoever they're going against. Like you're saying, I think that's like you said, not necessarily on commitment watch, but feel good about it going into the weekend.
Yeah. And again, he's a Chicago native originally. He's not from Florida. This is not a situation where it's a kid in Florida who likes to play the game. He's a Midwest offensive lineman. Those kids, generally speaking, are not into the recruiting madness. So, you know, another player, Midwest offensive lineman, let's just switch gears and go back to 2022. Carson Hinsman. I mean, we're still waiting, Zach. A decision is on the horizon, but it has been on the horizon for 6-7 weeks now. The big four-star offensive lineman from Wisconsin. It's Ohio State or Wisconsin. I keep hearing back and forth from different sides of people that Carson is just completely torn. There seems to be a push, and I've mentioned it before, but I'll just reiterate that parents want him to are not just wanting him. I don't think they want him to go to Ohio State, but I think that they are much more comfortable with him going away to Ohio State than he ever imagined they would be. And I think that the holdup right now is whether or not Carson himself is able to get over that hump of leaving home for college. And I've heard as of Tuesday, the decision could come this week. But again, we've heard that it could be this week for the last 7 weeks.
Yeah, I don't have really anything else to add that we didn't touch on in the in or out episode last week. So, I mean, it's almost like when we were talking about last week, you just check your phone to see if he's tweeted it out or put it on Instagram, because I don't think that this is a recruitment where I think we're going to see just a graphic put out at some point. I don't think it's going to be like a live announcement or anything. And it comes back to that heart versus head. Like, this is classic, like we've talked about many times, where it's, do I want to stay home and go with my heart and stay home with Wisconsin and what they do with offensive linemen, or do I want to go challenge myself out of state and get out of my comfort zone? So not a ton to report back there. I don't think he's planning on taking other visits. He's just in decision mode right now.
Yep. And the class of 2022 is just one of these very interesting things. There's three offensive linemen committed right now in that class. And, you know, Greg Studuara gets two of them from in the state of Ohio, and Avery Henry and Tegra Shibola. Those two would have committed to Ohio State no matter who the offensive line coach is. And then, you know, George Fitzpatrick out in Colorado, Tony Alford did a lot of the legwork there. This is one of those moments for Greg Studuara where people who like to criticize his recruiting are kind of on edge, because it's like, okay, do I have to give him credit for something if he pulls it off, or is this another, oh, well, they fell short again out of state? And we'll find out soon. The Buckeyes did fall short out of state on Tuesday night, as we continue to just talk stuff here by buyersauto.com. On Jimmy Rolder, the linebacker from Illinois, who we brought up a few minutes ago. We talk about a kid whose star just went from 0 to 100 real quick. I mean, this is someone that 5 weeks ago did not have a single offer, and now on Tuesday night he committed to Michigan after picking up offers from Ohio State, Michigan, Notre Dame, LSU, Florida, and pretty much everyone else in the world in the last 5 weeks. And Zach, this just seemed like a kid that did not want this spotlight. Like, it's funny because these kids work their whole lives to get noticed and get seen and get the recognition. And then when they get it, it can be extremely overwhelming. And I think that something about the small town feel of Ann Arbor and the program there in Michigan made more sense to him than the big bright lights of Columbus.
Yeah, his recruitment went from 0 to 100 real quick, and then 100 to 0 just as quickly. I mean, out of nowhere last night, seemingly out of nowhere. Because I know he was still planning on taking another visit to Ohio State, maybe getting back out to some other schools. And then he just said, you know what, I'm done. Michigan, that's it. And now we look, tacking on with Carson Tabarachi, him canceling his visit, as you reported yesterday, canceling his Ohio State visit. Those were the two guys that in the 2022 class that I think Ohio State was still targeting at linebacker. And now you mentioned a few names when you wrote about it yesterday, 2 days ago, that Ohio State may go after. And the only one that I had been on my mind, who I still think could be a possibility, is someone like Alex Safari at Lakota West, who is committed to Kentucky. And I think there's pretty general consensus is that he's more of a linebacker than a safety, defensive back, which is what he's I think he's still listed at.
The On3 database has him as a cornerback, and you know, we've seen him multiple times, and I don't see that in his future at all. Athletically, he's really special. Like, that's a kid who, if you move him to the linebacker spot at 6'2", 215 pounds, you could really see a kid develop into a really special athlete there. He's a number 10 ranked player in Ohio, and you know, he camped once for Ohio State and had an okay day, but like, if he wants to play corner, if that's what he's telling people, then Ohio State isn't going to recruit him there. So that's one of these situations where, like, how do you tell a kid, okay, you're wrong, this is not your position, we know what's best for you, if the kid himself doesn't want that?
And I mean, going on that, if they're not going to bring in someone like him as that third linebacker in the class, in my opinion, I think they're done at linebacker. I didn't really think they were going to add a third linebacker this whole time, but I thought that with the offering Jimmy Rolder and getting him on campus once, potentially getting him on campus a second time, I thought that might have changed things. But now with those two out of the fold, I think they've turned their focus to the 2023 class, because I know they're shooting to sign at least three linebackers in that class. And Sonny Styles, I guess, could count as one of them. even though he's just sort of that defensive weapon to be used all over the place. But yeah, I know there's Tamir Robinson, Troy Bowles, Jaden Osbury, who you just talked to for Bermanology. That those, I think, are the three, I guess, main guys right now at this point. Where do you see linebacker recruiting going in 23? Because I think we weren't feeling great about Jaden Osbury as of a week ago. Troy Bowles is someone who I think they want to get on campus again. And Tamir is obviously going through the recovering from his knee surgery.
Yeah, I mean, I, you know, to finish on 22, I do think that they're probably done at that spot, unless, you know, you, it may make more sense to hit up the transfer portal after the season and get a 1 year rental and then turn the focus 23. I've written it so many times over the last decade, but like Ohio State does not do like settling offers. They don't settle at a position. If they don't think a kid can eventually play at Ohio State, they're not going to offer him. And I know that's, you know, counterintuitive in some cases, or seems obvious in others. But if they don't think a kid can play at Ohio State, they're not going to offer him. They really liked what they saw to Jimmy Roeder, Carson Tavarachi. They really liked him at camp over the summer, but I don't think that they ever really went aggressively after him. And he's pretty much decided to stay closer to home. I think he'll end up at Utah. And in 23, there is the Tamir Robinson. There is Jaden Osbury. There is Troy Bowles. And the fascinating thing to me is that Osbury and Bowles are like the exact same player, like exactly the same guy. And the Buckeyes do, they would take them both and would want them both. Now, would those two want to do that together? I don't know. But I think clearly the flexibility of Sonny Styles allows you to do some things in moving parts, because Sonny's not a linebacker. He's not a safety. He's whatever. You can just put him out there and let him roam around. But yeah, I mean, I think that's where the focus is. And this is a situation where Al Washington's got three really good relationships with those three kids. And I don't see them in the 22 cycle. Al Washington identified CJ Hicks, Gabe Powers, and Desan McCullough very early. Those three are who he went after. He got commitments from all of them, and he thought he was done. I don't know that they're in that position yet with Robinson or Osbury. But I will tell you that I feel like if you're trying to handicap the race for Osbury, I feel much better about it after talking to him a little bit in these last couple of days that with the Bermanology episode he was on than I did a week before. I've long believed he's going to leave. He's not going to go to LSU. And so if a kid from Baton Rouge isn't going to go to LSU, then all bets are off. And I think that the offense or the defensive scheme that Ohio State runs fits him style wise pretty good. And, you know, I think you'll see. I mean, he's a five-star player, so there's going to be everyone after him. But the relationships are really good right now with Ohio State, so we'll see. There's definitely things happening, but you know, the Buckeyes are in a position where they don't need to panic. Obviously, at that position, you know, linebacker-wise, as I wrote about it on Tuesday, like they came into this season expecting Dallas Gant, Taraja Mitchell, and Kayvon Pope to all be back next season. So there was no panic. And now you really don't know what to expect when it comes to that position and the injuries.
Don't you think that the emergence of Steel Chambers and obviously Cody Simon, you have Tommy Eichenberg, you have a couple other guys, Neo Teote, I think is going to be back for another year, I believe.
Mm-hmm. That's the plan, yeah.
And maybe Taraja Mitchell, I think he was left off the senior day list, which I know doesn't matter as much, but still
doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because he could transfer. It doesn't matter because he could be transferring somewhere else or going to the NFL, or it's just the roster management right now is just creepy, dude. You have no idea what people are doing.
But like I was saying, it's just, I don't think that linebacker adding a third one in 2022 is as much of a emergency need unless you're adding a depth guy, like you said, in the transfer portal, because I think a lot of it is because guys like Steel Chambers and Tommy Eichenberg have emerged as, Steel's emerging as a defensive star, defensive MVP type of player for this Ohio State defense. Tommy's shown improvement. So I think you are afforded then the opportunity to push it back to 2023.
And you regain Mitchell Melton into that mix. I mean, there are some things that are in the Buckeyes' favor there for sure.
So kind of transition here with linebacker recruiting, safety type recruiting with Sonny Styles in the class. I think there are some people that are obviously you're through the moon that you have Sonny Styles to start with that. But I think there are some concerns that maybe getting him in the 23 class might affect Xavier Wampa in the 2022 class or Zion Branch. I kind of see Xavier and Sonny being able to be on the field at the same time, because I think they're kind of different skill sets. But what's your read on that situation?
Oh, I agree. I mean, I think that they're this is, again, the value of Sonny Styles is that he can be on the field with anyone at the same time. It doesn't put him, he's not in a box where, you know, like Xavier Wampa, there's a pretty good understanding that he's going to be filling the role of Ronnie Hickman at Ohio State if he ends up choosing the Buckeyes. Now, the question is, of course, what would Sonny Styles play in that defense? And I'm going to say this as nicely as I can. If you're a 2022 prospect and you're a five-star player and a top 10 player in the country, and I believe Xavier Wampa is the best safety in the country, bar none. I've seen him enough times to feel that way. And I don't think there's anyone better. And especially in that Ronnie Hickman role, that bullet linebacker combo hybrid role. If you're one of those guys, if you're one of those, I'm a top 15 player in the country dudes. If you care at all about the guy who's a year behind you, you're maybe not that guy. You know what I mean? Does that make any sense?
That's something I think in recruiting we've kind of talked about a lot too, is these guys all, a lot of them, like the Emeka Ogbuka situation, that's one that I always go back to. They want to play with and against those type of people in the same program, like guys who are just as good as them, at least if you are built like that or built different, as the kids say.
Yeah, but you find out real quick if you are or aren't built different based on how that situation makes you feel. And, you know, I believe Ohio State and Iowa are the two teams in the mix at this point for Wampa the most, but Notre Dame has been around. I've talked to different people at Notre Dame. They say they're not confident. I've talked to people at Iowa. They are confident. Ohio State's going, I don't know. I mean, no one has any real clue. I don't think that Sonny Styles' decision impacts Xavier Wampa at all. That's just what I'm going to say. And if it does, then to me, it's an indication that he's probably not a right fit for Ohio State anyway. And I don't mean that to be negative. I don't mean that to put someone down. But, like, if you're worried about the kid who's coming in a year after you, then you probably are not mentally what it takes to survive at Ohio State.
And I know you're saying that sort of as devil's advocate, but I don't believe that Xavier's that mindset at all. And I don't think that you think that he's built.
No, him. I don't. That's why, I mean, I still think we both have him into Ohio State. And I don't, you know, if you go to the on3.com, you know, today on Wednesday, there's a five-star scoop from Chad Simmons on everyone, basically, including Xavier Wampa and Zion Branch listed in this story, and you should probably go read it. You know, Chad said that he's hearing that the schools with the most buzz are Iowa and Ohio State, and he said he likes where the Buckeyes are based on what he's been told from people nationally in the last couple of days. And, you know, the same thing with Zion Branch. He still says, I've talked to Ohio State in this race since June. There's no reason for me to change that. I agree. I mean, there's a December 15th decision for Zion Branch, December 8th for Xavier Wampa. 1 month from now, I believe both those guys will be in the Ohio State 2022 recruiting class. And I think that a lot of people's concerns about the safety position can be put to bed for a while. But that does lead us to the position that is giving most people reasons to have nightmares. And that's somehow the defensive line. Like, what world are we living in where Ohio State's defensive line recruiting is the biggest question mark?
We are living in a world where it feels like a repeat of the Larry Johnson retirement rumors talk. I mean, we are inching closer and closer to that actually one day being a reality, but I think we are still a couple years away from that. I don't know if that's, I honestly haven't heard that, like, from the people I talked to that Larry Johnson retirement rumors, if other schools are still using that against him. I haven't heard that on the recruiting trail. I don't know if you have.
I don't think that people have to say it anymore. I think that's kind of what makes it interesting, because, again, you do have to, every year it's closer to the year that he actually does retire. But Larry Johnson, in talking to him and talking to people around the program, he is not thinking about that. He's still feeling younger and younger. But I also think it's this, Zach. It's not even, again, that people have to say that anymore, because it is just a natural, okay, this guy's 30 years older than the defensive line coach at Georgia or wherever. So, you know, Georgia, A&M, these schools that are all of a sudden pushing for defensive linemen, they have very young defensive line coaches, and they have extreme success right now in the defensive line. And people you know, people talking about Jordan Davis for the Heisman and all this stuff. And the Bulldogs are the one that we're going to talk about now, because I think we're going to talk mostly about Hero Canoe to start. But, you know, they're pushing out of their class. They're pushing Tyree West, who is an in-state four-star defensive tackle prospect who's been committed to Georgia for over a year. And Georgia's basically just throwing him to the trash heap. And I it's weird to me that they're doing that, because if Ohio State did that to a kid inside the state of Ohio, it's very, very negative PR. It's not, for some reason, playing out that way in Georgia, and that's cool, whatever. But I don't think they're doing that unless the Georgia staff is feeling very confident that they're going to sign both Chris McClellan and Hero Canoe. And so that's where I think Buckeyes fans are starting to feel a little bit concerned, because if Hero Canoe ends up picking Georgia and Christian Miller, not Chris McClellan, sorry, ends up picking Georgia, and Chris McClellan ends up staying home and going to Oklahoma, what happens now?
What are the other options, right?
Because the Buckeyes
base is going to get screen grabbed.
Yeah, like where do the Buckeyes go with defensive tackle? And that's a real concern, because, hello, there, Antoine Jackson's leaving, Haskell Garrett's leaving, Jerron Cage could be leaving, Teron Vincent could be leaving. Like, all of a sudden, you have a major problem at defensive tackle.
Yeah, and those last two guys, if they stay, you obviously have much less of a concern. And then you have Mike Hall coming up, Tyleek Williams, and Ty Hamilton.
But, right, you have some depth, but you can't just sit back and not sign anyone.
Right, exactly, and that's why. And if they do lose those two guys, Teron and Jerron, hey, that rhymed. Teron and Jerron, if they leave, then you're in even bigger of a pickle, as you like to say. I mean,
right.
But because Nick James, I don't know if they'd be able to sort of repair things there. Derek Shepherd is an in-state defensive tackle who I just bringing his name up because I know I've seen that. I don't think that's a real likelihood at this point. I guess it's still a possibility, but
yeah.
I think he's to Cincinnati. That really diminishes your opportunities. I mean, obviously, we always say Larry Johnson always has one guy in the fold, like the Tyleek Williams story. But does he have anybody off the radar right now other than those guys? Because we've been talking about the same group for
maybe a year now. You know, I think that's one of the interesting things about this Ohio State 2022 class. We just keep talking about the same guys. And if you go to on3.com and you read this five-star scoop from Chad Simmons today, it's talking about Walter Nolan, talking about Evan Stewart, talking about Harold Perkins, talking about all these guys who just keep flip-flopping, oh, I'm interested in this school now. I mean, Walter Nolan committed to Texas A&M last week, and then the next day was back at Tennessee for a visit. And, like, what is going on? Ohio State doesn't want kids that are that sort of mentality, that sort of fickleness. So they're focused in on these handful of kids, and this is sort of a sink or swim moment, because the kids you're recruiting, you know, are serious about the recruiting process. They're kids that are very close to a decision, you know, and that's why Hero Canoe right now sort of seems to be the defensive tackle prospect they're going after. You know, we talked about maybe five defensive linemen early in the process, but right now with Kenyatta Jackson Jr. committed and Canoe as the clear-cut front runner at defensive tackle, and then you have Caden Curry, who's that combo, that three tech slash you know, five tech guy that you can look at. And then you have Omari Abor. That's pretty much it. Like, there's not any other real targets out there that have popped their heads up in the last few months. It's not like Larry Johnson. It's not like you see some random kid visiting for a game and go, oh, why is this kid here? Like Jaden McKenzie, I remember 3 years ago, being there at Ohio State on a game day when Jaden McKenzie came walking down the ramp and like, oh, okay, I guess Ohio State is serious about him. There aren't those kids on this world right now. And that's why I think it's fascinating. Like, Ohio State brought in Kenneth Grant for an official visit in June and then didn't really recruit him. So, like, what? Why would you do that? Like, that doesn't make sense. And so now you're stuck in this position a month to signing day where you fully expect Christian Miller to end up at Georgia. I mean, I think there's still a chance for Ohio State there. I'm not saying it's over, but there's a lot of scuttlebutt in the Athens area that he's a silent commitment to the Bulldogs, and it has been for a couple months. Chris McClellan, I guess, is the wild card because Florida did fire their defensive coordinator. There is some very thick smoke in Oklahoma right now about things maybe happening with Lincoln Riley and the LSU Tigers. That would be an obvious game changer. We're not going to dive too far down that rabbit hole, but That's real rumors.
You go pretty far down the LSU rumor rabbit hole because, yeah. I mean, you both heard a couple names. That's like, all right, well, that would change things.
Yeah. I mean, hearing Lincoln Riley at LSU is a game changer. And that potentially could swing things back around with Chris McCown in Ohio State. But I think, and again, I don't mean to say this in a way that makes Ohio State seem like they're hoity-toity or whatever. But for some of these kids, when the kids decide, okay, I want to play the recruiting game, in a lot of cases, Ohio State decides we're not interested anymore. And they recruit kids who are serious about football and about their recruiting process. And the minute that someone starts to take that little deviation to I'm just doing this for fun, Bill, like, that's not when Ohio State wants to recruit.
So if we're looking at bigger picture stuff, because this is sort of, I guess, just a theory that popped in my mind a minute ago, that could, I guess, could wind up being a dangerous game that Ohio State plays down the road, because I don't know. It feels like this 2022 cycle, we're seeing more kids kind of playing the recruiting game than in the past, at least recent history. And I'm wondering if that's happening because of the COVID year and 15 months of not being able to take visits and stuff like that. There's a lot of this angst. Now they're getting out, winded with that experience of pack this entire recruiting experience in a very short time frame. Or I'm wondering if that's sort of now the era we're living in, where we're going to see a lot more kids want to play that game with the way that things are these days. So I don't know. I don't know if that's something that's going to have to play out or what.
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I think that you have to understand this class of 2022 has been impacted by the COVID stuff way more than the 21 class was, way more than the 23 class. So I think you do see a group of kids that is maybe trying to extend their moment in the sun a little bit as long as they can. That being the case, there's still also this now shift into the name, image, and likeness era, the free transfer portal era. Everything is changing. And the rules are kind of out the window in a lot of cases, that kids are like, oh, well, I can do this. I can go visit here and get this and go visit here and get this. And that's why it's so important for Ohio State to recruit, as we've talked about over and over, and what Ryan Day has said repeatedly in the last month when asked about recruiting in press conference situations. They want kids who want to be Buckeyes. And the kids that want to be Buckeyes, they know right away want to be Buckeyes. And that's sort of the thing.
And speaking of a kid who I think is going to want to be a Buckeye, and it's one of those situations where I don't think he's playing the recruiting game at all. It's just one of those things where he's really taking his time and being very, very deliberate in the process. And that's Caden Curry. I wanted to hit on his recruitment a little bit here, because I just went and saw him for the 75th time last weekend, and he was just coming off an Alabama visit. And I know there's potential for that, like, post-visit glow and stuff, but I really do believe Alabama is a much bigger threat than they were. They were always a threat. I know they're always in Caden's top three, but I think they're a bigger threat than they were as of 2 weeks ago before the visit. And I think Ohio State does have some competition there. I still think he winds up at Ohio State, but talking with him, it feels like, yeah, it's Ohio State, Alabama, Indiana. He hasn't visited Oregon. He hasn't visited Clemson. I think you kind of read the tea leaves there. It's not, not hard.
It's, time is drawing close to an end there. There's not a lot of opportunity for that.
And they won. They advanced to the state semifinals. And he's been pretty adamant for the past month or so, like, I'm not going to make a decision until after the playoffs. He's focused on weighing another state championship for a second straight year, which I know a lot of kids say, like, I'm just focused on this season, and then they commit a day later. I don't foresee that happening with Caden. I think they probably are. They're the favorite to win the state championship, so we probably won't see him make a decision until a week or two after his final game of the season. But just to recap things, I do think it's Ohio State versus Alabama sort of battle here toward the end. And I think Ohio State wins out, but Alabama has got their foot much further in the door than originally. Yeah.
It's one of those moments where you just throw up your hands and go, it's Alabama. You know, they're going to make a push. This is where you start to get into the old world of, you know, recruiting adages, right? Look, what does he do? Not what he says. What is he? There always has to be a second team. Like, and I think that Indiana was the team we all thought would be the second team for Caden Curry for so many months, because Tom Allen was pushing this vision of the Hoosiers program ascending and becoming a real competitor in the Big Ten East. That is clearly not happening in Bloomington. that team has fallen on its face, and they seem closer now to firing Tom Allen than they do competing against Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, and Penn State of the world. So I think that there's an opportunity at that point, as Indiana kind of falls off into the ether, someone else has to step up and fill that vacuum. And that's where Alabama, right off the visit, being the fact that they are, of course, Alabama, makes a big difference. With Indiana, we've talked all the time about Caden Curry, Zach, is that there's that role in their defense that he really likes, that they have, that he thinks he can fit. Bama, you know how Bama operates. Bama's like, oh, we can do that. We can put you there. We can do, like, they're going to, and nothing that they say is actually ever like a lie, because every kid who goes there wins a national championship. So you're just like, okay, well, we can do that for you. We can, yeah, okay, sure. You want to play wide receiver? Okay.
Like the yes man from Kevin Hart. What do you need? Yeah. Yeah. No, I'll go back.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because they can say whatever they want, and it's almost always true, because it always comes down to
that's what I was going to ask. Is it working, Berm? Yeah, it is working.
It's clearly working. It's clearly working. And that's the challenge. But this is, again, Ohio State is competing on the national recruiting stage, not with anyone in the Midwest. And yeah, you'll have the occasional battle with Notre Dame for a player. Obviously, the Xavier Wampa stuff at Iowa, that's a hometown thing. You know, that's different. But when you're talking about a player like Caden Curry, and that's why I think for so long Ohio State analysts and recruiting folks have been somewhat confident that he'd end up at Ohio State, because if you size it up, Ohio State versus Indiana, it is never going to be Indiana. So now you do have to worry about Alabama, because it's Alabama freaking Bama. They get what they want, and that's a challenge. The SEC beast is a different beast in recruiting, and Ohio State wants to compete against them in recruiting, because that's how you beat them on the field. But they're going to keep doing it their way, and Ohio State's way is patient and slow and steady wins the race, which is why I think they're a perfect fit for someone like Caden Curry, because he's not in a hurry. And kudos to him, and kudos to all these kids, in my opinion, who've realized they don't need to make a decision until December 16th. So why force yourself and pigeonhole yourself into a position where, you know, things change. The world of football is changing.
First of all, Curry is not in a hurry. So I don't think that.
Oh, that also rhymes.
I don't think he's in a hurry to where I don't think this is going to happen. But like, knowing his recruitment, knowing him, I wouldn't even be completely shocked if he waited until February and then wound up not enrolling early. That's nothing he has told me would suggest that he's going to do that. But I'm just saying it wouldn't even be that much of a surprise.
If you were a recruit, now let's put yourselves in this position here. Like, I get committing early and helping build a class. Like, I understand there's value in that. But if you're not a kid who is going to do that, why would you not wait until February if you weren't enrolling early? Like, I would.
Yeah, at least you get more of the feel for a program. I think I don't remember the recruiting calendar. I guess I could look at it real quick. Maybe you get to go see some bowl practices. Yeah. Get even better feel for programs. But
you get to make sure that the coach that's recruiting you the whole time doesn't leave 2 weeks after signing day and go coach in the NFL or go take another job, because of the coaching carousel is going to be insane in the next 6 weeks. It's going to be nuts. And so if you're one of these kids that hasn't signed, why wouldn't you just take a step back and let everything settle?
I think there is, though, there's the stigma is not the right word, but it feels like there's this massive trend of I need to get in school early, I need to enroll early, start my development, which I agree with. But there are other cases, like where you say see JT Tuimoloau, which I know that's a rare case of someone being extremely special and is able to hit the ground running and just immediately make an impact. But him being able to make that impact, I think that's making a good impression on Caden Curry and guys like that, where, okay, well, if he can do it, I guess I can put off a decision a little longer. But the thing is, I keep trying to say this, is Caden Curry is a guy that Ohio State can absolutely not lose. He's basically an Ohio, he's basically an in-state recruit he's 3 hours away. So we've been talking about him for now like a year and a half. So
he's been defensive priority one for 18 months, and that's not changing. You know, and I think it's just an important time to realize that not every kid is wired the same and not every kid is driven by the same thing. If Caden Curry, who's planned all along to enroll early, decides, you know what, I love playing baseball with my teammates and I want to play one more year of baseball. Okay. Like, how do you start? If that's what he wants to do, if that's what he thinks is the best thing for him, how can anyone else tell him you're wrong? I mean, it's not like playing baseball for the last 10 years has stopped him from becoming a good football player or a good football prospect. He knows what he, you know, he's obviously wanted by Ohio State and Alabama and Clemson. So like you did the thing, you know, at this point, if you want to go play baseball for another year, who cares what other people think?
What good timing, Berm, because Ryan Day just said 2 days ago that he wants his recruits to be able to play multiple sports. So
it's just important to realize that all these kids are different. And Caden Curry clearly wants to play in the NFL someday, but like he also realizes he's not going to play in the NFL next spring. So what is it? What are you gaining? What are you giving up? That experience capital matters. You know, those memories that you make with your high school teammates matter to a lot of kids. Some kids they don't matter to. Other kids, I'm telling you, you've talked to Caden Curry more than anyone. I've talked to him a handful of times, you know, in person. And every time you come away, you realize how important that high school is to him and the kids that he's played sports with for the last 10 years. Like all those kids are together forever. Like they matter. And I personally find that as a plus when Ohio State's recruiting kids like that, because you know that a kid like that is going to be serious about what he's doing. And that takes us back to what I'm saying. Like Ohio State wants kids that are taking this seriously because they take it seriously. They take the relationship side of this recruiting game extremely seriously.
And he'll be a great fit for the brotherhood, Berm.
That's right.
We talked about Caden Curry for way longer than I expected to. One last thing. I know
he's so important to the Ohio State recruiting class. I mean, again, think about if you lose Hero Canoe and you don't sign a defensive tackle, okay. But if you lose Caden Curry and now all of a sudden you're only signing two defensive linemen, if you end up with Omari Abor in the class, which is not a guarantee by any stretch, like where do these guys come from? You know, that it becomes a very big deal. Anyway, go ahead. Last thing.
So the last thing, I opened up our message board for questions. I had a mailbag earlier today. I think I might do a part two later in the week. But one that was asked three different times that we haven't talked about yet, which I think would be a good closer, is just Devin Brown, USC quarterback commit. He's supposed to be coming on campus for an official visit this weekend. Had like three different people ask what's the timeline for Devin Brown? What's their possibilities of him landing with Ohio State, that sort of thing. So what's your read on the entire situation?
First, you can't worry about the timeline because it doesn't matter. And again, you know, Ohio State right now has four quarterbacks on the roster and all of them are going to be back next year. Like that's in your mind, right? So it doesn't matter what the timeline is. Clearly, Devin Brown's been committed to USC for over a year. Clearly, he's not going to USC. So there is Texas, you know, I don't know why Texas would want him when Quinn Ewers is transferring there. You know, so like there's
reported
all this
here first.
Ole Miss, you know, is out there as a player. And what you see what Lane Kiffin's done with Matt Corral and Devin Brown's kind of that same gunslinger mentality. I'm going to say this. Ohio State needs a quarterback in the class of 2022. Obviously, they believe that. Otherwise, they wouldn't be recruiting Devin Brown and Drew Aller. They will gladly take either one of those two guys. I don't think this is a situation where it's like, oh, Aller's the absolute priority and you wait on Devin Brown if he wants in while you figure out if James Franklin's leaving Penn State or whatever. They really, really like Devin Brown. I'm interested in the fact that his visit is happening this weekend because when I first talked to Devin about this about a month ago, he said very explicitly that he wanted to visit in December after the season was over so that there was more time to get to know people and build relationships and see the whole campus and not do it on a game weekend. But clearly, at this point, I think that Ohio State has done a really good job in becoming a real player in that recruitment. And it's given him the confidence to say, hey, I can come there on a game weekend and still have the relationship being built that I want. So where do I see it? I think Texas is the front runner. I think Steve Sarkisian does a really nice job convincing quarterbacks that he's got the plan for them. Texas is in dire need of a player like that. But this is where Ryan Day's reputation matters a lot. He's going to get an opportunity to sit down with Devin and show him the plan. And you go from there. There's no timeline, though. That's the thing. I mean, the timeline's December 16th. So get there and then see what happens.
Yeah, I don't have much to add other than my gut feeling has been all along that if Ohio State gets him on campus, that Devin Brown will eventually wind up in Ohio State's class. But I also at the same time can't shake the feeling that he's going to see four quarterbacks in the same room. I mean, to compete against them, like, I would be the fifth guy.
Well, sure. But I mean, again, we all know realistically, right, that's two of those guys are almost certainly not going to be there next year. So, you know, in the new world of college football, it seems very unlikely that four of them will be back in the spring. I don't know if it's two or three that are on the roster next spring, but we can all pretty much realistically and objectively realize that someone at least is leaving, maybe two.
Right. And then Devin would have to, if faced with that decision, he would have to take a leap of faith, so to speak. But I digress.
So to speak.
Yeah. He would have to take that leap of faith that one or two of them is going to leave, even though they're on the program now. So that's all. That was my piece that I had on that.
Yeah. I'm really excited for this weekend. The thing is about Ohio State this weekend, like, the Buckeyes had a huge recruiting weekend just 3 weeks ago against Penn State. When this game against Michigan State was on the schedule for the week before the Michigan game, it was not anticipated to be a top 10 matchup. So it's not like you started to plan months in advance to have this be a big recruiting weekend. It's going to be obviously late November. It's cold. It's a noon game. People are going to have a tough time getting into town. There will be some big names on campus. Devin Brown certainly highlights it. Peyton Kirkland's another. I'm of the mindset that Carnell Tate will be either at Ohio State or at Notre Dame on Saturday. So I think he'll end up in Columbus, but that's just because that's what he said a few weeks ago, that he planned on being back there for that game. So I guess we'll see. Obviously, Sonny Styles, CJ Hicks, those guys will be there every game from now on. But don't expect it to be a huge recruiting weekend, but I do think it's an opportunity for Ohio State to have a very productive recruiting weekend, because the guys like Devin Brown, if Carnell Tate shows up, et cetera, you could see, and Peyton Kirkland, as we already said, like, there's some key moving parts coming into town.
Yeah. Anything else? Nope. I don't have anything else to add. I think that pretty much wraps it all up.
Excellent. Well, this is Talking Stuff, the Ohio State Recruiting Podcast, brought to you by Byers Auto, byersauto.com, and lettermanrow.com. We are part of the On3 Sports Network. You can sign up now for 1 year for $10. And, you know, you still obviously get this fine content here on the YouTube, which is, of course, where you guys are watching us and listening to this now. That's Zach Carpenter. I'm Jeremy Birmingham. Thank you for watching. We will see you in a few days with the next episode. Bye.